If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. If we could, in just a way, imagine traveling back to the time of Christ, when there was no social network, there was no Medicare, Medicaid, no way for somebody to be supported that was not healthy and not cared for by their family. And imagine in that world being perhaps born blind or going blind. We don't know for sure about this person. But day after day, the only thing that you could do is to feel your way and shuffle to the gates of the town. And there with the other beggars, sit with your hand out, asking for donations. That was your only means to survive. Now, as you've sat there, some days maybe you felt like there was no hope. Maybe there was mornings you woke up and said, why am I going down there? Why not just lie here and die? And maybe this person had those days. I don't know. It's not recorded. But I know human beings, and I know myself, and there's those days. You don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to go on. But then you hear about this guy who's been traveling around the country. And they say that he can make people who were blind see, and people who were deaf hear, and people who were sick healthy. They said that he even raised somebody from the dead. And you hear he's coming to your town. That's where we join this story. The story of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a man who was blind, and it said that he was sitting outside of the town. So in Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46, we see how Jesus and the story of Bartimaeus intertwine for just a moment. It says, then they, that's Jesus and the disciples, came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. But many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and he said, call him. So he called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. So throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, to give some context of when this occurs in Jesus' life, Jesus is working his way to Jerusalem for the last time. As we move into the next chapter, and chapter 11 begins with the triumphal entry, the entry into Jerusalem marking that last week of Jesus' life before he's crucified. How many days had Bartimaeus stood outside these gates when Jesus walked by before? How many days had maybe he had heard about the miracles, heard that Jesus was coming, but remained silent? For over 3 years, Jesus ministered very publicly throughout Israel, in particular around the Jerusalem area. But Bartimaeus was still blind. And it begs the question to me to start to think about our own lives. How many times have we had need and not asked? How many times have we had things in our life that we really could use help with, and we can know who the answer is, but we won't go to him? Maybe he figured, no, I won't bother Jesus. I won't ask him for anything. I'll just keep doing what I know to do. It's worked this far. I've been able to get along just fine without him. How many times have we lived life like that? I wonder sometimes if we are willing to put aside our pride and humble ourselves, will we get what we need? Now, there's three things I want us to see out of this passage. First of all, it says that he started to call out. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. First thing I want us to see out of this passage, when you start seeking Jesus, there's going to be people who come against you. Now, when it says that there were many there who came against him and told him to be quiet, who was they that they're referring to? Believe it or not, that's the disciples. It says that Jesus was traveling with a large crowd. Those were people who had been following him. What had happened just prior to that? Well, earlier in chapter 10, we see that Jesus had a similar situation with some children. You see, some children were wanting to come and visit with Jesus. And of course, in the tradition of the day, Jesus being a rabbi, being a learned man, an important man, you know, children are to keep away. They're not ready. They're not welcome. But what did Jesus say? He says, let them come. He even goes ahead and says, hey, if you don't come to me like these children do, you might as well not come at all. And it's interesting, shortly after that, there was a rich man. That doesn't describe him and how he looks, but I'm assuming he was pretty well off. You usually can spot when somebody has money, right? You know, first of all, in this day and age, he probably was clean, not covered in dirt, maybe had a little bit nicer clothes. And he runs up and nobody stops him. And we have the famous passage where Jesus says it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven, because when he asked the rich man to sell all his goods and follow him, the rich man walked away sad. So he had already told the disciples twice. He had given examples. All are welcome to come to me. And here is a man who's blind, who is in obvious need, and he is saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's the second thing I want us to see. When we come to God, we have to recognize who he is. There were other men who claimed to be messiahs. There were other men who were doing miracles at the time. But this man recognized that Jesus was special. He was the disciple. He was the Son of David. He was the one that was professed in the Psalms and the prophets, who we just celebrated with Advent. He was the Christ, the Messiah, the one that was coming. So we see that he called out to him. And then the disciples said, shh, don't bother him. You see, he's on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus had already told the disciples twice, I'm on the way to Jerusalem because this is my time to die. So some of the disciples may have been motivated by that, saying, look, Jesus is about important business. He doesn't have time for you. Maybe that's how we feel sometimes when we go to him in prayer. Maybe when we go to him and we say, you know what, God's probably too busy. I mean, after all, he's got like all these galaxies he's got to keep moving and planets spinning, and there's only about 7 billion people here on this planet just right now who all have their needs. I can handle my stuff. But he doesn't. He shouts even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him, and he called him, and the blind man, it says he threw off his cloak. In other words, he didn't want any hindrance to stop him. He wanted to make a beeline straight to Jesus. What's in our life that is hindering us, that's stopping us, that could stumble us on our way to Christ? Throw them off. Run to him. And the third thing that I want us to see is this. He says to him, "What do you want me to do?" He says, "I want to see." Now, that seems like an obvious thing, but I'll tell you a story about two brothers. The two brothers lived in kind of a backwaters area, and they weren't really educated. One of them had been crippled since life and had always been in a wheelchair. The other one, well, let's just say only his mama could appreciate his looks. He wasn't very popular. As a matter of fact, he was teased and made fun of most of his life. Well, one day they found this bottle and they rubbed it and a genie came out. And the genie says, "I'll give you two wishes." And this is their chance, right? To fix all their problems. And the brother, who had always had some problems with his looks, he says, "I've been so tired of people making fun of me and the way I look. I just am so tired of people harassing me. So what I would like is to be invisible." And the genie's like, "Really? Like, you don't want me to just fix, you know, your teeth and maybe grow you some hair and make yours a little smaller, you know?" "No, I just want to be invisible. I just don't want people to see me so they won't make fun of me." "Okay, boom, you're invisible." And she said, "Well, what would you, for your second wish, maybe you should do something for your brother." She said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, how long has he been in that wheelchair?" "Well, he's been in it all of his life." He says, "Well, don't you think you should do something to help him?" And he looked at his brother in that rickety old wheelchair that he had, and he said, "You're right. I wish my brother had an electric wheelchair." Now, did it solve some of their problem? Yeah. It didn't solve the real problem. And when we look at this situation, he could have asked them things like, "God, Jesus, you're here, thank goodness. Could you please just give me an endless supply of gold coins so that I don't have to come down here begging anymore? Could you give me a singing voice so that I could sing my begging? Could you give me a really cool sign that's going to grab people's attention?" I mean, he could have asked him for anything, but he asked him for what he needed. What's that look like in our life? How many times do we go to him and say something like this? "Dear God, help us to not have money problems." But you don't ask for help on budgeting or finding a job. Or, "Dear God, help me have a great marriage." But you don't pray for how you can be more loving and more caring, or spend your time better. "Dear God, I just wish I had better children." But you don't pray to give you wisdom on how to raise them or lead them. Too often we pray for the side issues. We never go to what's really important. If you're blind, you want to see. If you're deaf, you want to hear. If you're lame, you want to walk. And when we go to Christ, we should go to him and ask him what we want. Does he always give it? No. As I mentioned, Jesus had been ministering for over 3 years in and around this area. But there was Bartimaeus, still blind. There were other beggars there that day. Was it just some kind of a magic fairy dust that sprinkled across the crowd and everyone was healed? No. Should we stop asking? No. I want you to know that you can be bold and go into God. And when you go to him, throw off anything that hinders you. Go straight to him. And ask him for what you need, what you really need. Do it with confidence, knowing who he is. He is Son of God. Today, I want to take time to do that. So what I want to do is, I want to open up. Well, we haven't done this since I've been here. But this is, in some churches, they do this every week. In some churches, it's prayer time, testimonial time. And so, Amy, I want to ask you to write these down, if you don't mind, some of these people may call. So if you have a prayer need, I want you, like Bartimaeus, to tell us. Let's just tell it to God right now out loud what you need. And then we're going to have a moment of prayer in just a second, and we're going to pray over these things. So if anyone has a prayer request, a prayer need today, share it out loud, please.
Jesus, I need strength for the days ahead of me, for what I'm facing. Strength, and I need forgiveness for my sins. But most of all, I need the strength to endure and to be kind to everybody else, even though this is facing me. I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. May I share, Barb, why you asked that? Barb is at home right now taking care of her son, who is in hospice care. She's had to quit her job and stay home 24 hours a day taking care of her son. That's why she's praying for strength and the ability to have humility and forgiveness of others, because it can get on your nerves sometimes, as she's expressed. It wears you down. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
My father's health, my doctor's have the knowledge to know it's me that gives him better.
Your dad's health? So the doctors can know what's going on. Doctors know a lot, but they don't know everything, do they? And that's so frustrating. Linda. To be closer to God. How many people in here have had things in their life that's come up that maybe you've separated from God a little bit? Not as close as you used to be. I think we could all join in that prayer.
My mom, Jenny, is having a heart procedure done tomorrow. You know, it's real. It's kind of been a stressful week or so.
Absolutely.
I need the wisdom and to know to control my anger and not let things end me.
Amen. Sherry. For your son. Absolutely. For Chris and Shay Ritchie, for those of you who do not know, Shay received a phone call on Christmas Eve that her brother-in-law had been duck hunting out in Kansas, out on the ice, and the ice broke, and he went under and has drowned. And they've searched now for 2 different days, and they have not yet been able to recover the body. So there's the wound of the fact that he is drowned, and we know that he is no longer here, but also then we're praying that they'll be able to find him so that there will be closure for that family so they can go on and have a funeral and have that emotional closure. So they're really tore up right now. Abby.
My friend Denise is in a heated battle with cancer.
Your friend Denise with cancer? Absolutely. Anyone else with cancer or cancer problems? I know that's been a, yeah.
Well, like Patsy Long. Patsy's got cancer.
Patsy Long. To accept God's grace and forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's hard.
When you can't, you know, when you're not forgiving yourself, mm-hmm. It's like, how can you forgive me?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
My friend Kathy Hayes and her battle with cancer.
Kathy Hayes and her battle with cancer. Yes, sir. Help me out here. You want to praise him for?
I want to thank him for having hit me by a truck. Thank him for having my son. That's the reason I have my son is being hit by a truck.
So by being hit by a truck, you have a son now. Well, there's got to be an easy way, I hope. But praise God, even through something like that. Absolutely. Gosh, God bless you for sharing with us. Anyone else? Devin. For your sons' hearts and souls. Anyone else out in here have children that are maybe not close to God right now? That's difficult. Crystal. Might tell Matt about being hit by a truck. I don't know if that'll work. Try something else first. But. Jackie.
We have a niece that her little boy, he's like 8 or 9 years old. His name's Colby. I don't know all the details, but he has to see a neurosurgeon on January the 10th up at Riley's in Indy. He's got fluid in his brain, and they don't know why.
Okay. Listen, God already knows, right? This is just out loud. And sometimes being out loud is admitting it to ourselves that we need help.
Exactly.
We have to be open to God helping us. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else?
Yeah, Joy. I think we're blessed to have you here as our pastor.
Amen.
My prayer request is that God keeps continuing to lead me and so I can lead you guys. Because it's not me. Jason Davis is not a very good leader. But Christ through me, I do what I can.
I'd just like to give a praise for this church and our church family and you for all the support through this. It's, and God's help. It's been awesome.
This is a loving group. I tell you, I haven't been around a more loving group in a long time. How about some other praises? Anyone? Or Monique, do you have a prayer?
I have a prayer. I have a
prayer. Your parents' health? Your son's cancer, it's not what they thought it was it? That is a praise. Anyone else with a praise?
I have one. I want to just thank out loud everybody in this church who has supported me for so long. with birthday cards when it was my birthday and taking care of me with Dan being ill and when my dog got lost and probably got eaten by coyotes. And they've been sending cards and cards and gifts, and Santa Claus from my group and other friends here at the church brought us presents and even a present from my other dog. And if it wasn't for them and their phone calls and their love and their prayers, I'd have never made it this far. And
amen.
I just want to thank everybody publicly and bless them.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we take it just a second? I want to pray. Maybe in your heart, I'm going to take about 30 seconds just silence and let you maybe have unspoken prayers. You weren't ready to say it out loud, but God can hear you. So let's just take a 30 seconds here of prayer, and then I'm going to close out. Dear Son of David, have mercy on these people. God, those who have called out to you out loud in this group, God, I just pray for every one of those names and problems that are on that list. We call out to you, and we are very just humbling ourselves to come out to say to you, we need your help, God. And though the devil may come to us and say, yeah, but you remember these sins in your life, you don't deserve to talk to him. God, we want to just push him aside, just like Bartimaeus did to that crowd, and say, I've got to see Jesus. I've got to see him. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, and we're just begging you, praying. Answer our prayers, God. Meet our needs. We rejoice that we know that you love us and that you care for us and that you will answer us. God, help us to receive that answer, whatever it may be. And when it does come and there are miracles that happen, God, let us be like Bartimaeus and follow you and go along the road with you and rejoice. And tell others, let us be ambassadors for you, so that others who are in need, who are blind along the road, may come to you and see. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.